Testament reading today comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal, from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know, but keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Elijah responded, "Oh, you have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Our first New Testament reading today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, 'Let the light shine out of the darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And our second New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, and we're reading from chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're now going to have an anthem from the choir, "Let Thy Mantle Fall on Me."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. So we come to this moment where we reflect on the transfiguration. Next slide, please. We reflect on this special moment where Jesus' glory was revealed to the disciples. It's interesting. It seems to be very much a message for those three, because as Jesus goes down from the hill, it's "be quiet about this." Very much a Mark and theme. Shh, don't let the secret out. Not until I've risen from the dead. And then the disciples are going, "This risen from the dead bit?" We're missing something in the story here. But Jesus is about to plainly reveal to them. This is part of Jesus' preparation for these people for the first Easter. And I've got to say, as we face Easter, I, like a few among us, have in mind that we as a community have a couple of people who have had very long-standing relationships with these congregations and with the Redlands retiring. And at times like this, we remember. And I know there's people here remembering husbands, wives, parents, uncles, aunts, people who have gone before, who have been signs of the faith, who have been figures for them that are important in their faith lives. And I think this passage is important for that. Next slide. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking of Isaac Newton, who absolutely simultaneously transformed the worlds of physics and mathematics, mainly by bringing the two of them together. And his answer was, "If I've seen further, it's because I've been standing on the shoulders of giants." There's a place for thankfulness, isn't there? But there's also a place for looking how we go further. Next slide. So we have this meeting of Jesus and the disciples on the mountain. But they're joined by two figures, Elijah and Moses. Two figures who were the dominant figures of the Jewish tradition. But it's not Abraham that's there. There's a whole heap of other figures, aren't there? These are two very important people. And as I reflected last year, because they encountered God, not quite face to face, but physically encountered God in their earthly ministry. But let's have a look at the start and beginning of each of their ministries. First, next slide. Of course, we have lots of details about Moses, and we love those stories. We went through them last year, didn't we? Born at a time of persecution, saved by his mum's act of faith, and perhaps a bit of shrewdness on his sister's path. Adopted into the family of the Pharaoh. And then it all falls apart when he gets so burnt up by justice that he assaults, and even in the Bible, one punch can kill. Assaults someone who is mistreating a fellow Jewish person, has to run away, starts building a new life for himself in the desert, and then one day encounters a burning bush. And God says, "I've got a job for you." And Moses' response, like half the prophets, is, "Who me? Why me? Here's my list of excuses." And Moses seeks God's signs of God's endorsement and moves on. Next slide. Elijah, we have no great stories from. We have a list of who he is, and then he's speaking to King Abraham going, there's a drought coming because God's not happy with you. Almost immediately, he ends up in conflict with the priests of Baal. Has a pretty resounding victory with them, but not with the king, and immediately flies to Mount Horeb, where he encounters God. A very rapid, no character development. It's almost like the Gospel of Mark with Jesus. Bang, here he is, off he goes. Next slide, please, Marion. It's with the endings. In the ending, we have Moses, and Moses prepares the people for him. He calls a meeting. He gives them a list, gives them a long sermon. And if you want to read what tradition says that sermon is, it's the whole book of Deuteronomy. Is his final sermon, wanders off to the desert, and is never found. And some tradition that he was raised into heaven. Possibly with the three people that are on this, common with the other two people who are seen on the mountain in the Transfiguration. Next slide. And now we have the story of Elijah being raised into heaven. But we have here a few characters that can represent us in this story. We have Elijah, who has taken on himself an apprentice, has taken upon himself a disciple called Elisha. Just to make our lives hard, it's almost like a Dostoevsky piece, isn't it? All those familiar names, you've really got to pay attention as to who's who. But Elijah is being taken up to heaven. Elijah says, I've got to go here, 10 kilometres away. He's not going to get an Uber. It's a fair walk. Peter Smale told us yesterday it was 10 kilometres, 12 kilometres and 20 kilometres, the three. I'm going 10 kilometres away. I'm coming with you. He gets there. And the local prophets, the people of their community of witnessing to God, came out and goes, hey, Elijah, you know, Elijah's going to be taken away from you today. Almost, again, don't say, can't deal with that. Is it can't deal with that, or is it we just want to be in the moment? The now is important, not what's going to happen later today. I am with my master for one last time. I don't want to think about. So then they walk to the next stop, another 10, 12 kilometres away. Well, before they do that, Elijah turns around and says, God sent me over here. Yep, I'm going to follow you. Then a third time. And we find ourselves beside the river with the characters we don't often look at in this story, 50 witnesses, 50 people who God called to witness what was going on there, not just two key characters. And they cross the river, and Elijah finally turns around and says, so what am I going to have to do to get rid of you? Like a few people I know, it sounds like Elijah is more than ready to go to be with God. What am I going to have to do to get away from you and let God take me away? And Elijah says something very telling. I want to have a double share. A double share is the eldest son's inheritance. I want to inherit that spirit God has put upon you. And Elijah says, that's a hard thing for me to grant because it's not his to give. The spirit, that forming of Elijah's character that Elijah so admired, was not from Elijah, but was from God. And Elijah says, I can't give it to you. But this is a sign where you may know. If you're still with me when it happens, it's obvious God wants you to be part of this. And I must admit, I think I saw one of my fellow theologians' eyes raised in the Bible reading when I added an extra two verses to the lectionary. Because the story ends in our lectionary with Elisha receiving the mantle. I decided to add the extra verses when Elisha turned around and did what his master had done and said, I have my faith in this God. Where is this God? Where is this God that this person pointed towards? Because I think that's the central point of the passage. It's not about Elisha receiving Elijah's spirit, but Elisha receiving the Spirit of God. And what did Jesus do when he farewelled his disciples? He breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit of God. There is no doubt the Holy Spirit is upon this community. We've seen the changes. We've seen God's witness in the past. Sometimes we're privileged to see glimmers of God's presence and activity at the present, but that's always that, just glimmers, isn't it? Our eyes are on the wrong frequency. But we have the hope that when we reach out in faith and we say, where is our God? Our God will be there. It is in doing. It is in every act of love and vulnerability and letting go when we stop trying to do things by our power and we act in hope and love and in God's power that we experience it. So yes, we're faced with tough changes, big changes. And I'm going to introduce you later to my colleague, Reverend Lynn Burden, who's helping us with some of that process of saying, what are these things? What are these acts of love God is calling us to? Next slide, please. Where we are being called to act upon the tradition of God who has been active in this place, is active in this place, and will be active through this community no matter what. I pray we may have the hope that our faith is not in people or things, but in the God who calls us, who forms us, and who sends us. I've got to admit, yesterday was a bit of a special moment for me because I was on Levon's Synod Selection Panel back in 2019. One of the candidates for ministry is now Reverend Levon. He got ordained yesterday. And he's getting sent back to my old congregation in Gladstone where I candidated from 20 years ago. Wow. But in his service, he told a story. He told a story of a little girl going home from church, having a chat with mum and dad in the car. And she goes, so we believe God created the whole universe. And they go, yes. Well, that must mean God is really big. Yes. And she goes, but we also say God lives in our hearts. And they go, yes, yes. Well, then it's got to be so big it sees through. And I pray that God's big presence in our heart is so big that no one can fail to see through us and what we do God's love and God's invitation to them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.